He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what was that? That he, being a servant, humbled himself. That's the mind that each and every person should have. It's a mind of humility. It's a mind of humbleness. Because when we have this mind, God will lift us up. So,
welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of From Humiliation to Exaltation. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of From Humiliation to Exaltation.
Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. As we come today, I want to speak to you on the subject, from humiliation to exaltation. From humiliation to exaltation. That's what we see in the passage before us. Christ is the example for us that we should humble ourselves, and that if we will humble ourselves, that we will be exalted. Now, we're not necessarily going to be exalted the way that the world would exalt us, or we're not necessarily going to be exalted the way that we want to be exalted, but if we will humble ourselves, God will exalt us. And my brothers and sisters, many of us have read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 over and over and over again. And there has been many theological debates about Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. But the bottom line is this, is that when you humble yourself, God lifts you up. And that's the message for today. That's the message that I want to share today, that if you will humble yourself, that God will lift you up. Now, human beings would rather lift ourselves up. But I find that when you lift yourself up, now, once again, so that no one think that they are left out in this message, we're talking from young all the way to old. Some young people, they want to lift themselves up. They want to be the big cheese, and they want to be the head honcho, and they want to lift themselves. They want recognition. They want to do this. All throughout the ages, people have wanted to lift themselves up. But when you lift yourself up, I find there's two problems with that, all right, especially as we look at the Word of God. That when you lift yourself up, that when you want the accolades, sometimes you want somebody to notice you. And you might puff your chest out and bow your arms and walk in front of somebody because you want somebody to notice you. I found two things from the scripture that when you lift yourself up, two things happen. And the first thing is that you have the praise of men and not of God. Matthew chapter 6 talked about that, where he said that the Pharisees went and they prayed so that people could see them. They prayed so that people could hear them. And God said that they have been heard by men and that they have their reward. The second thing, when you try to lift yourself up, the fact is, the scripture is very clear on this point right here, is that when you try to lift yourself up, you can almost guarantee that a fall is coming. The Bible says that pride comes before the fall. I've told you the story about that lion who was trying to exercise his power in the jungle. And he went and roared and went from animal to animal and asked them, who is king of the jungle? He went to the bear and said to the bear, who is the king of the jungle? And the bear replies, you are. He went to the tiger and he asked the tiger, who's the king of the jungle? And the tiger said, you are. He went to the elephant and he said, who is the king of the jungle? And the elephant wrapped his trunk around the lion, slammed him into the ground about four or five times, took him over to the lake, dunked him in there till he almost drowned, and picked him up and slammed him against a tree. And the lion got up, bruised and battered, and said, just because you don't know the answer, that's no reason to get mean about it. Pride. Pride goes before the fall. And that's what we are being challenged with in this passage today, that we need to humble ourselves and God will exalt us. In this passage, it says here, now let me say this in your notes at the very top, you know, one of the things that it points out is that most scholars believe that verses 6 through 11 were from a hymn that was sung by the early Christians. That when you read 6 through 11, where it talks about who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and then concludes with in verse 11 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, that many people believe that this was a song that was sung by those in the early church. And it makes good sense because it kind of covers the purpose of why Christ came. It lets us know that he came to humble himself and then he was exalted. And so we want to begin this morning by looking at his humiliation. And the first point that I have here under his humiliation is what we call the request for humility. The request for humility. Look what he says in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul calls for the Philippians to have the mind of Christ. Now, you know, some of us might want the mind of Christ, and we want the mind of Christ so that we can look into the future and see what the lottery number is going to be. Some of us want the mind of Christ so we can look into the future for the wrong purposes. Paul said that's not why we want the mind of Christ. He said that every believer here could have the mind of Christ. We can't have the mind of Christ in the sense of omniscience. We can't know everything. We can't have the mind of Christ in the sense of having perfect knowledge. So what is this challenge that's being put out here? If he's saying that you need to have the mind of Christ, what is he talking about? Paul makes it clear what he's talking about here. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what was that? That he, being a servant, humbled himself. That's the mind that each and every person should have. It's a mind of humility. It's a mind of humbleness. Because when we have this mind, God will lift us up. So Paul requests this. He asks, my brothers and sisters, have the mind of Christ. Then we move from the request for humility and we move to the revelation of humility. How do we see humility being born out? Well, in verses 6, 7, and 8, we see this. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That Jesus Christ was in the very form of God. Jesus Christ was God himself.
When Jesus Christ walked this earth, he was no less God than when he was in the glories of heaven. Can you imagine what that must have been like for him to have all the attributes of deity, the omniscience, the omnipotence, the omnipresence, that he had all this in the form of God, that he was the very essence of God. Oh, not like the Muslims would tell you that he was just a prophet, not like the Jehovah Witness would tell you that he was a good man, but Paul said he was in the very form of God. And my brothers and sisters, to say anything else is to rob him of who he was. Being the Greek word there is morphe, the very essence of who he was and who he is God. And I want to say this, that, and you write this down somewhere, that every cult, every group that got off from a theological perspective got off in the area of the misunderstanding of who Christ is. And the first thing that they want to do is they want to strip him of his deity. But I come to tell you today here at Bethany Baptist Church that Jesus is God, a very God. And it said that in his form, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you look in your notes today, under the revelation of humility, Christ's deity is that he possessed all the attributes of God and was equal to God in every way. But look what it says here. The phrase, not robbery, is literally in the Greek. It means not to be grasped, something that you hold on to for dear life. In the incarnation, Christ did not grasp his divine privileges as deity, but was willing to humble himself and become a man, a servant, and die on the cross. Wow. But I'm the president of who keeps the water cups for the water cooler committee. And nobody is going to get a cup unless they come through me. Jesus Christ was God, a very God. And he was willing to step away from that. He didn't see that as something to be grasped or held on to. And yet still we want to hold on to these meager titles that we have. We want to hold on to these meager acknowledgments that we have as if we're somebody great. If we don't get your Reverend Doctor, Bishop, Elder, so-and-so, then we get upset. Jesus Christ didn't see this as something to be held on to. Somebody said, well, should we call you Dr. Glaze or Reverend Glaze or Pastor Glaze? Well, I don't care what you call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. These titles are not something to be held on to. Jesus, he didn't grasp. He didn't hold on. He was willing to step back. And you know, I heard the story about Booker T. Washington, and that he was walking down the street one day, and there was a white lady that came up to him and asked him if he would cut some wood for her. Now, at the time, he was president of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. So he came to the lady, he chopped her wood, and he stacked it and put it in her house. And some little girl noticed that was Booker T. Washington, the president of Tuskegee Institute. And she told the lady, and the lady was so embarrassed, she couldn't believe that she had asked the president of this institute to cut wood for her. And so the next day, she went down to his office, and she walked into his office, and she said, I'm so embarrassed that I asked you to do this. And Booker T said, well, you know, that's all right. He said, I don't mind doing things for friends. And a couple weeks later, this lady got together some of her wealthiest friends, and they made one of the largest donations to the Tuskegee Institute. Now, say it again. Say it again. Humility. See, now some of us, what? Cut wood? Are you crazy? What do you think this is, slavery time? Now, we'd have went off, man. You know, we'd have went off. But here's this brother, president of an institute. He didn't see his presidency as something to be grasped and held on to. Do you know who I am? He was willing to let it go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He didn't see his deity as something to be held on to. As a matter of fact, if I believe it's on the next slide, if we'll go to that, this is what's known to theologians, and I don't want to get deep here, but this in theological circles, this passage here is what's known as the kenosis passage. And this is a passage that's highly debated among theologians. And they try to figure out, when it says that he made himself of no reputation, what does that actually mean? And you can line up 50 scholars and you'll probably get 50 different answers. But the bottom line here is that Christ made himself of no reputation. The phrase no reputation comes from the Greek root kenosis. So that phrase, no reputation, comes from this Greek word, kenosis. And this word means to pour out or to empty. So when God, in the form of Jesus Christ, became a man, what did he do? He poured out himself into what? Into humanity. He just divested himself of all the glory that he had, and he poured it out into humanity. Now, I'm a little reluctant to put this next slide up because I don't know how clear it's going to be, but we'll try. Yeah, it's not clear at all. All right, but I can see it, so I can tell you what it says. As we look at the difference between Jesus as God and as the God-man, we see that these things were reality about him. First of all, he was a majestic king, and he poured that into humanity, and what did he do? He took the form of a servant. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. Somebody hear me this morning. He was 100% God. He poured himself into humanity, and he became 100% God and 100% man. Oh, I'm talking about Jesus Christ this morning. He was worshiped in glory. He poured himself into man, and he was rejected on earth. He had independent use of his attributes. He was poured into man, and then he selectively used his attributes. See, people said that, well, Jesus lost his attributes. He didn't. If Jesus lost anything in the incarnation, he wouldn't be God anymore. He didn't lose a thing. Yeah, I remember, some of y'all remember this, when we were across the street, there was a brother that came. I guess he grew up in this neighborhood. And he came, and this is back in the day when we used to have the open mic during visitor's time. We passed the mic around. And this brother came from Homewood. And, you know, he was in Florida. He said, I just came back from Florida. I was worshiping with Yahweh ben Yahweh. And he went on, man, for about 5 minutes, and he was cussing. And I had to eventually tell him to turn the mic. But he got this in before he turned the mic. He said, some of y'all remember me when I played here in Homewood. I played at Westinghouse High School. He said, I was an all-state basketball and football player. And he cussed, so I'm going to leave out the expletive. He said, I ain't lost a thing. Now, he didn't say it like that, but not to our brother Jeff. But what did he say? He said, I was all-state, and I didn't lose a thing. Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ became a man. Whoa, hallelujah. And he didn't lose a thing. He didn't lose a thing when he became man. He shared equally with the Godhead. He poured himself into humanity and he submitted himself to the Father. Jesus chose, and the Father and Jesus agreed that when he came to earth, that the Son would submit himself to the Father. But it was by total agreement of the Godhead. So that Jesus didn't lose anything. He just chose to submit himself to the Father. And then we see in glory, he was a perfect spirit being. And when he poured himself into manhood, he became a man. Jesus let go. He let go of his majesty. He let go of his deity. He let go of his glory. He let go of the independent use of his attributes. He let go of his shared equalness in the Godhead. He let go of his perfection in the spirit being to take on these things. He poured himself into humanity. And if Jesus Christ was willing, thank you, if Jesus Christ was willing to do that, how can we as human beings hold on to the little puny accolades that we get? How can we hold on to the little finite abilities that we have? You got to be willing to let them go. You know, sometimes you don't want to ask folk some things because, you know, people have gifts and they have talents. You don't want to ask them because they don't want to use them. Yeah, well, no, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But when you are a servant and you are asked in the area of your giftedness to share your gift, that you realize that it's not you anyways. You realize that it's God that's working in you. And God works in you and helps you to be able to come what it is that you need to become. The road to humility. Look at the notes as we look at the road to humility. We've looked at the request for humility, the revelation of humility. Now let's look at the road to humility. The road to humility, verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In the notes, we see that Jesus surrendered, that he made himself of no reputation. He surrendered. He emptied himself of his divine prerogatives as deity. What is should be the mind of the believer? The believer must sometimes give up his or her rights in order to glorify God. Sometimes you got to let go. You might have the absolute right to do something. And it's a matter of not me exercising my right. It's a matter of God being glorified. It's a matter of us working together in harmony. And so at times, if we're going to have this mind of Christ, that we have to surrender the fact that we have these rights. But we fight. We fight. We fight right down to the end. You know, I really don't think, and I'm glad we don't have this conversation right now so nobody will have to worry about being offended or nobody will think that I'm talking about them. I really don't think. And so y'all remember this next time.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of From Humiliation to Exaltation. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, From Humiliation to Exaltation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request From Humiliation to Exaltation. That's anchoredinjesus.org. Request From Humiliation to Exaltation. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord. In the drawer, oh, my goodness. Man, you got to put a lock on it. Put a note. Right? Digging through everything else.